Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Greg Scarlatio, Executive Director of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. We are very grateful to our colleagues from the U.S. Korea Institute at SAIS for hosting this event. We are very grateful to Dr. Oh Ki Lam and our colleagues from South Korea for sharing their time with us to provide an update on the campaign to rescue Dr. Oh Ki Lam's family. Since today's 9/11, I would like to begin by observing a few moments of silence in memory of the victims of the 9/11 attacks. Thank you very much. We will begin with a short documentary entitled, very simply, Save My Family. It is a documentary that tells very briefly the story of Dr. Oh Ki Lam and his family still trapped in North Korea. After the documentary, I will ask the speakers to walk up to their seats on stage, and we will proceed with today's presentations and then with the Q&A. Thank you.
In 1970, a poor student studying abroad, Dr. Oh Ki Lam met a nurse who had been dispatched to Germany. Her name is Shin Suk Ja. They married and lived together happily. Watching his two daughters, Haewon and Kyuwon, played their beloved violins, Dr. Oh thought of his own passion to become a great doctor of economics. But
가슴이 매우 지난도 되겠지만, 이런 곳이 와, 다니, 한 발자국도 1930년대를 못 벗어났구나.
North Korean agents approached Dr. Oh. They told him he should go to North Korea. They persuaded him with sweet promises and preyed upon his weaknesses and insecurities. By the time, Dr. Oh had received his doctorate of economics, but he was unemployed. He was swayed by the promise of a professorship at a university in North Korea. Dr. Oh had dreams of contributing to the development of his homeland. Promising even more, they said they would provide the best medical treatment to his wife, who had hepatitis. This only added more weight to Dr. Oh's decision to go.
그 친구들은 독일에서 반정부 운동을 하고 독일에서 공부도 했고 한 그런 사람들이었는데 아무래도 북한으로 가는 것이 좋겠다.
With visions of bringing about economic reform through what he had learned in Germany, Dr. Oh boarded a plane to North Korea with his wife and two daughters. However, the only thing waiting for them when they landed were indoctrination sessions and overbearing monitoring. In a remote mountainous wilderness, the family was forced to undergo daily indoctrination into the cult of the Kim family for their first 4 months in the country. Dr. Oh already felt a deep sense of regret, yet there was no way to undo his decision. 3 months after his indoctrination course, Dr. Oh was given his first mission from the authorities. It was not as a professor of economics. His mission was to lure two South Korean students studying in Germany into North Korea. He fell into despair, knowing that the North Korean authorities have given him instructions to carry out the same scheme that he himself had already fallen for. He could not refuse the order, though, because his ailing wife and two young daughters were being held hostage.
쟤를 두고 내가 어떻게 가겠는가? 자신이 없다. 애들 때문에 반인륜적인 범죄를 저지를 하다도 조선노동당 중앙위원회가 내게 준 지령 임무를 수행하고 돌아오겠다. 저희 집 사람이 다시 불같이 화를 내면서 멱살을 잡고 뺨을 때리면서 그런 얘기를 했었습니다.
도망치세요. 우리가 무슨 죄가 있어요. 그래도 죽인다면 죽으면 그만이죠. 하지만 우리를 죽이진 않을 거예요. 만약 우리를 죽인다면 자기들의 체제가 병약하다는 걸 알리는 거잖아요. 그러니 함부로 죽이지 못할 거예요. 다시 한번 부탁해요. 정의를 사랑하는 순결무구한 젊은이들이 대남 공작기구의 재물이 되지 않았으면 좋겠어요. 추악한 삶은 존귀하지 않아요. 혜원 아빠, 이 말을 명심하세요.
그 집이 평양 중구였고, 즉 평양의 중심지인 창단거리, 저희 집이 바로 그 호텔 옆에 있었어요. 12층에서 여기서 뛰어내려 차 당신이 그렇게 여기서 뛰어내려 죽어버리자고까지 얘기를 했었어요.
With his wife's determination in his heart, Dr. Oh boarded a plane heading for Copenhagen, Denmark. While on arrival to the airport in Copenhagen, he hid a note inside his passport which simply said, "Help me." While desperately looking for a chance to escape the grasp of his handlers, Dr. Oh saw the immigration desk just ahead of him.
내가 제일 충돌 없이, 큰 마찰 없이 이 사람, 이 공작 지부의 그 공작 작전에 저 빠져나올 수 있다고 판단한 거죠. 살려달라. Help me, help me. 하나는 영어로, 하나는 독일어. 이 여권은 내 진짜 여권 아니다.
This is how Dr. Oh escaped North Korea. After Doctor's escape, his wife and two daughters were imprisoned in the infamous political prison camp, Yeolduk.
애들은 못 봤어요. 애는 못 봤어요. 그 엄마만 계속 봤어요. 창고에 우리가 무슨 그 무슨 옷을 바질라랑 갔다가 밀가루 가질라랑 갔다가 그래 보면은 그랬어요. 근데 눈이 커요, 이 여자가. 얼굴이 하얗고.
어머니는 그 머리가 새타였거든요. 아야. 그 우리가 흔히 보기도 딱 보면 여기서 보면 이방인 같아요. 외국 사람 같아요. 딱 봐.
After escaping from North Korea, Dr. Oh stayed in Germany and worked tirelessly to rescue his family and bring them back to him. Meanwhile, Yoon Isang, an international composer living in Germany, a man who had suggested Dr. Oh go to North Korea in the first place, approached him once again. Mr. Yoon showed Dr. Oh a picture of his wife and children and played a recording of his family talking. He attempted to persuade him to go back to North Korea.
아빠, 나는 희은이에요. 며칠 전에 아버지 함께 생일을 전국에 보내는 꿈을 꿨어요. 저에게도 훌륭한 아버지가 계신데 아버지 사랑이 부르십니다. 아버지, 무지만 건강하세요. 너무 오래간만에 아빠라고 소리내어 부르는 이름이 나옵니다.
When Dr. Oh heard his daughter's voices, his heart broke. But he recalled his wife's determination and conviction, and he confused Mr. Yoon's offer to return. Instead, he dedicated himself to rescuing his wife and daughters and bringing the truth of North Korea to the world. Now, people all over the world have begun to listen to his story. As interest in North Korean human rights issues increased, the campaign to save Shin Suk-ja and her daughters began to gain strength all over South Korea. Finally, 26 years after fleeing the country, Dr. Oh received a letter from the North Korean authorities. It came as a reply to the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention's inquiry into Ms. Shin's case. The short letter said that his wife, Shin Suk-ja, had died from hepatitis. It went on to say that his daughters no longer consider Dr. Oh their father.
진정은 뭐 하늘이 무너진다고 할까 무너졌다고 할까 억장이 무너졌죠.
After 26 years of waiting, Dr. Oh couldn't accept this simple reply. Dr. Oh had known nothing but lies from the North Korean authorities since the first time they convinced him to come to North Korea. So, why not this time too? He thought. If Suk-ja has truly passed away, they should send me her remains. Also, they should allow me to speak with my daughters, to know how they have lived their lives. Although he considered the letter a lie, Dr. Oh still felt desperation.
아버지의 잘못 때문에 온갖 그 옛날에 그 어느 누구도 상상할 수 없는 삶에서의 고초를 겪은 두 딸 어떻게 위로 뭐라고 하겠어요? 그냥 딸들이 아빠를 만나서 운다면은 내 손으로 그냥 눈물을 닦아주면서 그래 울어라 싫게 울어라.
Dr. Oh has shouldered the burden of a guilty conscience since the day he left North Korea. But now, the UN has issued an opinion which has given him hope and strength to carry on his mission to save his wife and daughters. On May 29th, the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention delivered their official opinion. They declared that Shin Suk-ja and her daughters were being arbitrarily detained in North Korea. Now, Dr. Oh is not a lone voice calling on North Korea to set his family free. He is joined by voices across the globe with the weight of the UN to pressure North Korea to release Shin Suk-ja, Haewon, and Kyuwon. As Dr. Oh's tragic story has spread around the globe, more and more people have taken an interest in working to improve the human rights situation in North Korea. Gradually, we can feel greater and greater hope for change.
정말 이 바보 같은 짓을 한 죄를 저를 도와 저 아내와 두 딸을 내 구출에 나서 주신 분들에게 정말로 감사를 드립니다.
I want to see my family, if only once more.
It never gets any easier to hear the story of Dr. Oki Lam and his family. I would like to ask our speakers to join me on stage. We are... I would like to tell everybody that we are extraordinarily pleased to have a VIP interpreter today, Mr. Michael Kwon. I'm sorry we haven't prepared a table tent for him. We just found out in the last minute that he had very kindly agreed to translate today. Mr. Michael Kwon is a commissioner with the Fairfax County Human Rights Commission. And I would also like to salute the presence of one of our own committee's board members, Mr. David Kim from the Asia Foundation. We'll have to ask. I think that the first speaker doesn't really need an introduction, especially after having watched this very moving documentary telling the story of Dr. Oh and his family. We are going to begin by giving the floor to Dr. Oki Lam.
Thank you so much for having me here. The UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention declared that my wife, Shin Suk-ja, and our two daughters, Hae-won and Kyu-won, have been arbitrarily detained since my two daughters were only 11 and 9 years old. The only reason for their detention is that their father refused an order to kidnapped two South Korean students and left North Korea. Because of that, my family has spent almost 3 decades in a political prison camp where unimaginable human rights violations are committed. Since the UN declared my poor family's detention has been arbitrarily, now I must take them back to me. In order to do that, I desperately need your help. I know the background of the fact that UN has paid attention to my family's case and treated it like this was only thanks to the domestic and international interest and the support. Nevertheless, I need some more help from you to rescue them from that horrible situation. It is not only a campaign to save my own family, but also to save the 200,000 innocent lives being wasted inside these camps. These political prisoners are nameless and faceless. The campaign to rescue my family is the first step to saving these 200,000 lives. With your help, we can save all the unknown daughters and sons from those dark places. Thank you.
Dr. Okilam, thank you very much for continuing this good fight with such energy and for being such an inspiration to us all. Our next speaker, Dr. Roberta Cohen, is co-chair of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea and a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Dr. Cohen is a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights and a former senior advisor to the UN delegation to the UN, a senior advisor to the representative of the UN Secretary General on Internally Displaced Persons. Dr. Cohen and Francis Deng co-authored the first major study on internal displacement entitled Masses in Flight. And Dr. Cohen also organized the process leading to the guiding principles on internal displacement. In recent years, Dr. Cohen has written extensively on North Korean human rights, and many of you may recall an article published by the U.S. Korea Institute at SAIS entitled Human Rights Progress in North Korea, Is It Possible?, where Dr. Cohen included the 10 benchmarks that one would have to use in order to evaluate the current situation and in order to see if any type of change is happening on the human rights front in North Korea. Dr. Cohen, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Dr. Okilnam, it's a pleasure to see you again, to hear you speak English now, which I haven't. But I also hope that we'll no longer be on panels together, because I'd like to think that he will be reunited with his family. And as co-chair of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea, I first want to say that we do help, we do want to help, and I want to express the support of the whole organization for freeing the family from North Korea and for a reunion between Dr. Okilnam and his family. In my remarks, I'd like to make three points. The first has to do with North Korea's forcibly holding foreigners against their will and not letting them leave the country. We have just seen this very poignant and moving film of Dr. Okilnam, a South Korean, who was lured to North Korea in 1985 with false promises of medical help for his wife and of a professional position for him as an economist. Instead, they were subjected to intense indoctrination and surveillance and used by the North Korean regime for its own political purposes. The job he was given, as the film showed you, was to return to Germany and lure other South Koreans to the North under false pretenses. The practice of luring foreigners to the North, where they're then held as virtual prisoners, as well as the practice of outrightly abducting foreigners to provide North Korea with skills and information it needs, has been well documented by a 2011 Committee for Human Rights report entitled Taken, North Korea's Criminal Abduction of Citizens of Other Countries. I know copies are outside. The report found that persons of at least 14 nationalities have been abducted or detained against their will in North Korea, the largest number being South Koreans, and the most widely publicized, Japanese. This goes all the way back to the 1950s. The report calls for a full accounting by North Korea of all those abducted, of all of those lured to the country, and all those who chose to go there but were then prevented from leaving. It calls for family reunifications for these people and their right to leave the country. Many governments and the United Nations General Assembly have expressed their abhorrence of these abductions, and our organization, together with others, have called upon the United Nations to set up a commission of inquiry to look into abductions and other crimes committed by North Korea. In 2002, for the first time, Kim Jong-il, then head of North Korea, admitted that North Korea had abducted Japanese and apologized to Japan's head of state. North Korea then allowed five abducted Japanese to return to Japan after being held for more than 20 years. But it did not provide a full accounting of all the Japanese still held or of all the other foreigners who had been taken. Were North Korea to provide a full accounting of all those kidnapped or lured to the country and allow the persons who were still alive to leave and reunify with their families, it would be a signal to us all that some reform is afoot in North Korea. That signal is not yet here, even though it might be lucrative for North Korea to release more abducted people and provide an accounting. My second point is that shining the spotlight on the Oak Hill Nam case is an entry point into the whole penal labor camp system in North Korea. For decades, as Dr. Oak Hill Nam has told you, persons held on political grounds in North Korea, like his family, were nameless and faceless to the outside world. No one knew who they were because North Korea was so closed off. But now, cases of actual people are beginning to come to the fore, with more than 24,000 defectors in the South. Even United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon knows who the Oak Hill family, Oak Hill Nam family is, and publicly has said he will work for their release. Our committee, in a recent study entitled Hidden Gulag, this is a very heavy publication, estimates some 150,000 to 200,000 political prisoners in North Korea held in brutal and grueling conditions. The figures in part are large because in the political penal labor camps, the Kwanli-so, whole families have been incarcerated, including children and grandparents. In order to isolate the family from society and punish family members because of their relationship to the accused person. Dr. Oak Hill Nam's wife and two young daughters were imprisoned because of their association with him. I am not aware of any other country in the world that holds so many political prisoners and where guilt by association is a regular and accepted practice. Were North Korea to respond to the growing calls for the release of the family, it would signal greater receptivity to international standards and opinion. Its new leaders, after all, could well calculate that the country could benefit politically and economically from some reform in the human rights area. Burma's recent release of political prisoners and other reforms opened up the door for dialogue with the international community, for the normalization of diplomatic relations with the United States, for the loosening of restrictions on economic aid and investment. Third, let me draw attention to the importance of United Nations human rights procedures. The Oak Hill Nam case, as you learned, was brought to the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention in 2011. The working group is composed of five independent experts. They come from Pakistan, Senegal, Chile, Norway, and Ukraine. And they began to ask questions of the North Korean government. And North Korea felt obliged to respond. It didn't deny the existence of the case. In fact, North Korea replied that Dr. Oh Kil-nam's two daughters are alive. As the South Korean newspaper Chosun Ilbo commented, North Korea usually flatly denies abducting any South Koreans, but this time it issued a response, albeit cursory, because the UN stepped in. Indeed, the case has gained greater legitimacy because of the UN imprimatur. NGOs, therefore, must continue to press the working group and the UN Secretary General to use whatever good offices and influence they have to unite Dr. Oh Kil-nam with his family and find out the fate of his wife. We must all urge our own and other governments to make this case a constant and relentless part of international human rights diplomacy with North Korea. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen. As Dr. Cohen said, we have copies of our report on abductions available outside, and also all of our reports are available on our website, hrnk.org. Our next speaker is Mr. Choi Sung-young, who is president of the Family Assembly Abducted to North Korea. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
저는 북한에 납치돼 있는 순수하게 납치돼 있는 517명의 단체 납북자 가족 모임이라는 피해자들만 모인 단체 대표 최성용입니다.
My name is Choi Sung-young. I represent a group of families of 517 people who have been abducted by North Korea.
이미 우리 정부는 1989년 국정원 자료에 정부 자료에 의해서 이렇게 발표가 됐는데 그때 이미 89년도에 신숙자 오해원 규현이를 납북자로 분류했습니다.
In 1989, according to the National Intelligence Service in Korea, they classified Dr. Oh Kil-nam's family, Shin-suk-ja and the two daughters, as abductees by North Korea.
저는 저희 부친의 납북으로 방법이 우리 한국 정부가 북한의 요구 사항이 너무 미약하고 국제사회가 납북자 문제를 너무 몰라서 방법을 선택을 했습니다.
For me personally, my father was abducted, and from the government's very weak support, there were no other international ways, so I decided to step in.
북한에 억류돼 있는 납북자와 국군 포로들을 한국에 모셔와서 국제사회와 한국 사회에 알리자.
I'd like to bring those detained in Korea, also the Korean military servicemen who were detained there from North Korea, the Korean War. I'd like to bring them to South Korea and show them to the world.
한국에는 납북자가 8명과 국군 포로 90명이 탈출해 왔습니다.
In South Korea, there are eight people who escaped, eight former abductees who escaped, and 90명이라고 하셨어요?
90명.
90 former military servicemen who escaped from North Korea.
저는 납북자 7명과 국군 포로 12명을 북한에서 직접 제가 모셔왔습니다.
I personally helped bring seven abductees and 10명이라고 하셨어요?
12명.
12 military men from North Korea.
이렇게 국제사회 언론에 이렇게 알렸음도 우리 정부와 북한 이런 데는 우리 가족들을 생사 확인조차 이미 합의도 못하고 알려주지도 않고 있습니다.
Despite all this news to the world, the two Korea's governments have not even acknowledged the identities of the abductees.
그래서 결론은 요코다 메구미의 일본 남편 김영남이를 2004년도에 제가 북한 정보원한테 들어서 발표를 했습니다. 요코다 메구미의 남편이 우리 학생이다, 납치된 학생이다를 발표했습니다.
I announced to the world that the I guess a Japanese woman named Yokodami, that her husband is Kim Young-nam, one of our students.
그것을 가족 그 정부 모르게 저는 DNA를 해서 일본 정부와 공동으로 DNA를 같이 해서 요코다 메구미의 남편이 김영남인 것을 밝혔습니다.
And using unofficial routes, we discovered that the husband of Yokoda Megumi is Kim Young-nam, and we disclosed it to the world.
그러자 북한은 그때까지 김영남인을 김철준이라고 속이면서 하다가 일본 정부하고 제가 DNA를 발표한과 동시에 평양 당국에서 김철준이가 한국 고교생 김영남이라고 평양 당국이 발표를 했습니다.
김영남이 한국 사람입니까?
예, 한국 학생입니다.
예. DNA를 사용해서 밝혔다고요?
예, 제가 이제 예. 정부하고 밝히니까 평양에서 고백을 했어요. 발표를 했어요.
After I disclosed that Kim Young-nam was from South Korea, who was abducted by North Korea using DNA, they until then they were claiming that it was Kim Cheol-jun. But after I disclosed that, they acknowledged that it was indeed Kim Young-nam from South Korea who had been abducted.
그래서 저는 결론이 일본은 메구미의 운동으로 납북자 문제가 활발하게 됐습니다. 그렇지만 우리는 제가 납북자를 그렇게 구해오고 언론에 공개해도 잘 알아듣지도 못하고 합의도 안 해요. 그래서 결론은 지금 이 뒤에 조금 전에 보신 이 사진 신숙자 회원이 기원이의 운동에 국민들도 서서히 동참하고 있다는 것을 확신을 하고 박사님하고 저는 같은 피해자 입장으로 돌아가서 같이 운동에 동참해야겠다 이런 결론에 도달했습니다.
In Japan, there's been an active movement about the abductees, but in Korea, still very much a silent issue. In fact, they don't even understand. With as so you picture of the Ogilam family, I'd like to work with Dr. Ogilams, and as victims of the common issue, I'd like to work with them.
우리 반인도 철폐 쪽하고 우리 같이 대책위원회하고 우리 국민들이 동참하고 국제사회가 좀 도와주니까 유엔의 북한에서 유엔의 신숙자 모녀에 대해서 거짓말일지라도 처음으로 역사상 처음으로 유엔한테 알려줬습니다.
누가 알려줬습니까?
북한이.
네. Because of all the work of the committees and organizations internationally, they finally, North Korea finally informed United Nations about the Ogilam case.
결론은 신숙자 모녀를 살려온과 동시가 우리 517명 납북자의 해결의 실마리라는 것을 저는 확신을 합니다.
I see the release of the Ogilam family as a first step toward releasing the 517 abductees.
비겁하게 북한은 우리 한국의 납북자 소식을 이거는 북한의 문서입니다. 한국 정부한테 보낸 문서입니다.
This is a document from the North Korean Red Cross to South Korean Red Cross.
우리 납북자들을 북한은 간단하게 확인 불가능이라고 합니다.
They just classify the abductees as unable or impossible to confirm.
그렇지만 일본한테는 이렇게 자세히 사망 날짜까지 일본한테는 이렇게 알려주고 있습니다.
But for the Japanese abductees, they have far more details, including the date of death.
그나마 다행인 것은 유엔이 처음으로 역사상 우리 납북자의 확인을 일부 조정했는지 만들었는지 몰라도 신숙자 모녀에 대해서 알려줬다는 거. 거기에 우리는 더 앞으로 국제사회에 더 호소를 하면서 오길란 박사님이 돌아가시기 전에 자식들을 만나게 해주는 것이 우리 국제사회의 책임 아닌가 이렇게 생각합니다.
At least it's reassuring that United Nations has stepped in and gotten the response from North Korea. We must move forward and we must make sure that Dr. Ogilam's family is united with Dr. Ogilam before he passes away.
저는 사람도 구해오면서 북한에서 이런 사진도 제가 정보원을 시켜서 빼왔습니다.
I brought these pictures from North Korea using unofficial routes.
이 사진은 36명, 31명, 도합 67명의 우리 납북자들이 교육받고 찍은 사진입니다. 평양 당국에.
These are pictures of 36 and 31 for a total of 67 abductees after they were quote-unquote educated.
그리고 저는 수년간 북한의 신숙자 모녀를 포함한 우리 납북자 517명의 이름을 장소와 적어서 소위 말하는 삐라를 만들어서 여태도 수년간 보냈습니다.
This is a leaflet with the names of the 517 people, including Dr. O's family's family names that I've been spreading in North Korea.
끝으로 제 목소리가 좀 높아서 죄송스럽지만 국제사회가 한국 정부의 힘이 약한 것을 국제사회가 더 도와줘서 우리 신숙자 모녀 해결을 도와주시기를 간곡히 부탁드립니다. 감사합니다.
I urge you to help us through the international community for Dr. Ogilam's case and the abductees. Thank you.
Mr. Tae Sung-yong, thank you very much for your inspiring remarks. Our next speaker is Mr. Tae Hong-je, who is a co-chair of the Committee for the Release of Shin Suk-cha, Oh Hae-won, and Oh Kyu-won, Dr. Oh Kilam's family. He is also a member of the board of directors of the Zeitgeist, a think tank publishing a think tank in Korea, a quarterly magazine addressing major political and social issues. He has authored several books as well, including Korea's Ups and Downs, and this spring in April. He ran for the National Assembly as a representative of the Saenuri Party. It turned out that he was not successful this time around, but we certainly wish him better luck next time should he try again. Yeah. Sir, the floor is yours.
귀중한 시간 내주셔서 감사드립니다.
Thank you for your precious time here today.
저와 오길람 박사님은 30년 가까운 시간의 차이가 있습니다.
나이로요? 예. Yeah. I'm about 30 years younger than Dr. O.
작년에 이 통행에 따른 송환운동의 일환으로 한 700km를 도보로 23개 도시 캠페인을 했던 적이 있습니다.
Last year, as part of our effort to get Dr. O's family released, we did a walk through the nation, 700 kilometers through 23 cities.
저희들이 저를 포함해서 저와 같은 젊은 친구들이 이렇게 열심히 하는 이유가 두 가지가 있습니다.
There are two reasons why we're in this.
첫 번째는 여러분과 같은 이유입니다.
First is the same as your reasons for being here.
저는 인간이고 그리고 두 아이의 아버지이기 때문입니다.
I'm a human being and I'm a father of two children.
그래서 오길란 박사님과 신숙자 여사와 혜원이 규현이 고통을 참을 수가 없습니다.
So I cannot tolerate the pain that Dr. O and his family have been experiencing.
두 딸을 26년 동안이나 정치범 수용소에 갇힌 채 그거를 지켜봐야 했던 아버지의 마음을 저는 이해할 수 있습니다.
I can feel the pain in his heart watching his daughters suffering in the prison for 26 years.
이것이 여러분과 같이 이 운동을 하는 첫 번째 이유입니다.
That's the first reason why I'm in this movement.
두 번째 이유는 저의 책임감 때문입니다.
The second reason is my sense of responsibility.
매우 아이러니하게도 오길란 박사님이 북한에 납치되어서 북한 당국에 의해서 활용될 때 그러니까 북한에서 남한 대학생들을 유혹하기 위해서 대남 방송을 할 때 그때 오길란 박사님이 거기에 배치됐었습니다.
It's ironical that when Dr. Oh was first, when he first went to North Korea, he was used as propaganda method towards South Korea.
저는 그 전두환 군사 독재에 저항하는 학생 운동을 했었습니다.
At the time, as a student activist, I was fighting against the 전두환 regime in South Korea.
북한의 방송도 청취했습니다.
And I listened to the North Korean broadcast.
그래서 북한과 연계해서 한국의 민주주의를 신장시키고 통일을 이룰 수 있을 거라는 믿음을 가졌습니다.
And at the time, I felt that I could work with North Korea to bring democracy to South Korea.
지금 돌이켜 보면 참으로 어처구니 없는 일이었습니다.
In retrospect, that was very foolish.
그건 오길란 박사님이 겪었던 어처구니 없는 일과 똑같은 것이었습니다.
It's in line with the same kind of foolishness that Dr. Oh experienced in North Korea.
어쨌거나 저희들은 김일성, 김정일 체제와 손을 잡고 넘어서는 안 될 그런 선을 넘어서 민주주의 운동과 통일운동을 전개했었습니다.
I crossed the line with Kim Il-sung's and Kim Jong-il's regime in a way in order to bring or try to bring democracy to South Korea.
인간을 위할 거라는 우리의 근본적인 어떤 믿음이나 이런 것과 정배치되게도 우리는 결국 북한 체제를 강화시키는 데 기여를 하고 말았습니다.
The unfortunate consequence that I ended up aiding the North Korean regime.
북한 체제가 강화된다는 것은 북한 인민들이 고통을 더욱더 가혹하게 받는다는 것을 의미했습니다.
Strengthening the North Korea's government means more suffering for the people there.
정치범 수용소에 있는 우리 동포들이 그리고 납치된 우리 형제들이 그리고 정치범 수용소에 있었던 회원이 기원이가 더욱더 고통스러운 상황에 처한다는 것을 의미합니다.
It means more suffering for the political prisoners, including Dr. Oh's family in North Korea.
예를 들어서 우리 회원이 기원이 저 아까 보신 사진, 그 사진은 1991년도에 찍은 사진입니다.
For example, the picture you saw of Haewon and Kyuwon is from 1991.
1991년이면 제가 고려대학교 총학생회장을 하면서 북한의 전대협 대표로 대학생들 두 명을 파견했던 해였습니다.
In 1991, I was the president of the Student Association of Korea University, and we dispatched two representatives to North Korea.
저는 전혀 원하지 않았지만 우리 혜원이 기원이와 북한 형제들의 고통을 가중시키는 데 결국 기여하게 되고 말았습니다.
Although I did not want it, we ended up making it worse for Haewon and Kyuwon.
그래서 저와 함께 운동했던 저 젊은 친구들은 반드시 혜원이 기원이를 구해내는 일에 최선을 다할 것입니다.
So those who work with me in our youth will try our best to help Haewon and Kyuwon now.
우리의 책임으로부터 자유로워지기 위해서 기도합니다.
And that is to set ourselves free from our own guilt.
도와주십시오.
Please help.
지금 김정은 체제가 등장을 했습니다.
Now we have the Kim Jong-un regime.
제가 보건대 최소한 2-3년 정도는 계속해서 개혁개방 조치를 취할 것 같습니다.
I think he will continue this for the next 2-3 years of this reform policy.
물론 그 개혁개방이 성공할 가능성은 제로에 가깝습니다만
And the likelihood of success is near zero.
앞으로 2-3년 동안은 그런 조치를 취할 가능성이 매우 많습니다.
But it's likely that he'll continue that for the next 2-3 years.
이번 실무그룹에 보낸 답변만 하더라도 그 단적인 예에 해당한다고 봅니다.
And the answer they gave to the United Nations Working Group is an example.
우리는 이 기회를 놓치면 안 된다고 생각합니다.
We must seize this opportunity.
예, 이 2-3년의 이 기간 동안 모든 노력을 다해서 우리 오길란 박사님 품에 우리 딸 두 딸들을 꼭 데려오는 일을 성사시켰으면 합니다.
We must go all in for the next 2-3 years using this opportunity to bring Dr. Oh's family back.
여기 계신 분들이 함께 해주신다면 그날은 더욱더 빨라질 거라고 믿고 있습니다.
Your help, all of you here in this room, will help speed that day.
감사합니다.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our final speaker today is Mrs. Kwon Eun-kyung, who is the manager of the international team at Open North Korea. Open North Korea is also the acting secretariat for the International Coalition to Stop Crimes Against Humanity in North Korea. The Committee for Human Rights in North Korea is a member of that international coalition. Eun-kyung does a lot of other things as well. She's the English editor of the Daily NK, and she's the assistant secretary of Free North Korean Gulag, a staffer of NKNet. Working with her quite closely, I know that she practically never sleeps. If I send her an email at 2 a.m., Korean time, she responds within the next 10 minutes. And Young, the floor is yours.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say how much I really appreciate all your efforts in arranging this event. I'd like to especially thank the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. As you know, the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention issued its opinion on the case of Shin Suk-ja and her two daughters, Oh Hye-won and Oh Kyu-won, in late May in this year. The Working Group determined that the detention of Shin Suk-ja and her two daughters is in fact arbitrary and demanded their immediate release. Even though the Working Group's opinion is not legally binding, it provides those working towards Shin Suk-ja's release with justification and concrete proof that these three women must be rescued. It makes not rescuing them a moral issue. It was a good sign that during the process of communication and fact-finding by the UN Working Group, a message was received from North Korean authorities. It was not a positive message. Nevertheless, it shows that North Korea's authorities are aware of this case and must be keeping an eye on this case. North Korea's concern is in this issue is solely because the world has taken an interest in this issue. Now we are asking you to help us put even more pressure on North Korean authorities to make it impossible for them not to release these three innocent women. With your help and support for them, it can be done. There are many precedents of innocent detainees who, after having their detention declared arbitrary by the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention in UN, have been released through the use of support and pressure from the international community. According to a paper written by Gerald Genser, Ayam Mashik, a Pakistani Christian, was arrested in October 1996 and sentenced to death according to Pakistan's blasphemy law. In November 2001, the Working Group issued an opinion claiming that the deprivation of liberty of Mashik is arbitrary. Thereafter, 11 U.S. senators joined with NGOs such as the Jubilee Campaign and Freedom Now to put pressure on the Pakistani government and sent a letter to Pakistani president asking for Mashik's release. He was then released and given a shelter in the U.S. in 2002. Dr. Dan Quê, a Vietnamese democracy activist and medical doctor, was arrested in March 2003 because he wrote a communique on freedom of information in Vietnam. The Working Group issued an opinion in September 2004 that Vietnam was arbitrarily depriving him of his liberty. In response, 9 international human rights organizations jointly wrote a letter to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan at the time to argue why he should intervene. Copies of the letter were sent to 17 Vietnamese relevant officials. 15 Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award laureates urged Vietnamese president to immediately secure Dr. Quê's release. The press noted an outcry from the international human rights community. Finally, he was released in February 2005. The case of Chinese activist Yang Jianli may be one you are familiar with. For his release, U.S. senators again sent a request urging the Chinese president to remedy his situation. The House and the Senate unanimously passed resolutions condemning China's detention of Yang and calling for his release. In April 2007, he was finally released. Just like these cases, once we, the defenders of human rights, combine our strength, we can make history, even when we're dealing with the North Korean authorities. We believe that you can make U.S. Congress and administration work on this. This can be the first step to ending North Korea's brutal system of repression inside political prison camps and so many other inhumane crimes committed by the North Korean authorities against their citizens. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ngyong. We are now ready for our question and answer session. Please remember to keep your questions brief, and also please remember to identify yourselves, and if that is okay, your affiliation as well. And please also remember to specify the panelist to whom you're addressing the question. Sean Tandon, please.
Thank you. Sean Tandon, I'm a journalist with the AFP news agency. To Dr. Oh, just a couple things to follow up. Since your daughters have been there for quite a long time, what's the state that you would imagine that they'd be in? Is it possible that they've become indoctrinated into the system? How confident are you that about what their state is right now? And also, just more in general terms, could you explain a bit the reasons for your visit to the U.S.? What do you hope to accomplish by taking your message here? Thank you.
예, 오 박사님, 그 따님들하고 오랫동안 떨어져 있었기 때문에 북한에서 세뇌 교육을 받을 가능성이 있는 딸들과의 그 현지 상황에 대한 그 의견과 그 다음에 이번에 미국에 방문하는 목적에 대해서 설명해 주십시오.
Let me explain the second question first, the reason why we are here in this DC. We are here, as I explained, there are several precedents which have been solved by the efforts of international community, especially the U.S. administration and also U.S. Congress, by passing resolutions and put pressure more on the relevant countries. So we also expect, of course, we know the South Korean government also have interest and concerns about this issue, but we need more and multiple influence on North Korean authorities. So we urge you also to raise voices, your voices, about this to your government and Congress. And like we also plan to have a visit to Germany to ask German government to arrange a meeting between Dr. Oh and her two daughters. In order to make it, we also want to ask North U.S. government and Congress to ask German governments and also to put pressure more neutral governments in the world, like which have relations, diplomatic relations with North Korea. So we first one is to ask U.S. government and Congress to help us, and also to raise awareness from the South Korean community in around DC and New York. Yeah. And he's talking about his the sentiment of her daughters. And
yes, please.
저와 내 딸이 헤어진 지는 26년이 됐습니다.
It's been 26 years since I got separated from my daughters.
물론 그동안에 제 두 딸은 계속되는 세뇌를 계속 세뇌를 받았을 거로 생각합니다.
I'm certain that they have been continuously exposed to brainwashing.
그러나 아무리 세뇌를 하더라도 제 딸의 회원 교원의 아버지에 대한 원래의 감정은 세뇌로 부서지지 않을 거로 알고 있습니다.
But despite all the brainwashing, I believe that my daughters Hewan's and Kyuan's feelings, fundamental feelings toward me, would not have changed.
처음 제와 두 딸이 예를 들면 독일에서 만났을 때 제 두 딸은 아버지의 말을 부인할 것입니다.
독일에서 만난다면
아버지 말을
네, 아버지 말 거절할 겁니다.
If my daughters and I were to meet in Germany, the first daughter would deny or refuse my words.
그러나 같이 지내는 동안 하루 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 달라질 것입니다.
But as we stay together day by day, they will start to change.
그 원래의 감정으로 되돌아올 것입니다.
They'll return to the original love we had.
저는 그것을 믿고 있습니다.
I believe in that.
그래서 세계가 UN이나 미국이나 독일이나 이런 나라들이 그 두 딸의 그 저 예를 들면 유럽 방문 계획을 만들어 가지고 그 제와 두 딸이 최소한 한 달 정도만 같이 있게 해주면 안 좋겠나 막 그렇게 생각하고 있습니다.
That's why I have this wish that perhaps the United Nations, United States and Germany could work together for me to spend about a month with my daughters.
이 한 달 정도만 지나면은 저의 두 딸도 이제 자유롭게 얘기할 수 있을 게고 그런 진심을 얘기할 수 있을 것으로 생각합니다.
I think that if we could spend about a month together, they'll open up to me and speak truthfully to me.
그것을 확신합니다.
I have faith in that.
저도 한 말씀 첨가하겠습니다. 예를 들어서 일본인 납치자들, 그러니까 북한에 의해서 납치됐던 일본인들의 사례가 있습니다.
I have examples of the Japanese people who were abducted by the North Korea.
그들도 북한에 있는 동안 끊임없이 세뇌를 받았습니다.
While they were in North Korea, they were exposed to brainwashing.
하지만 일본에 와서 체류하는 잠깐 체류하는 동안
But while during a brief stay in Japan,
그들은 세뇌를 포기하고 자신들의 부모를 택했습니다.
They overcame the brainwashing and chose their parents.
문제는 회원이 기원이가 아버지와 자유로운 만남을 허용하는가 안 하는가에 달려 있다고 보고 있습니다.
I think the critical issue is whether Haewon and Kiwon can have a free meeting with their father.
Yeah.
We'll go to Dr. Y Park Rice for Korea next.
I work for NGNK, No Gulags in North Korea. There was a very interesting news recently in Joseon Daily News. It said that Dr. Ogilam's two daughters and Megumi's daughter are under special care by Kim Jong-un's sister. And I don't know how much truth it has in it, so I'd like to ask to Dr. Oh and Mr. Che. And if they are doing this really, why the North Korean government is treating them specially? Is there any good news for the possibility of release in the near future or something else?
김정은 정권이 두 딸을 특별 대우를 하고 있다는 뉴스가 조선일보에 났는데 그것이 사실인지 아시는지 그 다음에 왜 그렇게 하는지를 거기에 대해서 대답해 주시겠습니까? 최 선생님.
아마 확인할 수는 없지만 추정하건대 사실 가능성이 매우 높다고 생각합니다.
We cannot confirm for sure, but it's very likely to be true.
예, 작년에 한국에서 통영에 따른 송환운동이 본격적으로 일어났습니다.
Because we had a huge movement in Korea to free the daughter of 통영.
예, 그 운동의 결과로서 우리 혜원이 기원이가 평양으로 옮겨졌다는 소문을 저희들이 확인했었습니다.
And we confirmed that as a result of our efforts last year that Haewon and Kiwon have been moved closer to Pyongyang.
저는 이게 중대한 성과라고 생각하고 있습니다.
And I consider it a major accomplishment.
지금 평양 당국은 두 Haewon이 Kiwon이를 세뇌하기 위해서 각종 어떤 공작을 할 가능성이 매우 높다고 보고 있습니다.
It's highly likely that the Pyongyang government is making all kinds of efforts to brainwash Haewon and Kiwon.
국제사회 압력이 높아지면 높아질수록 혜원이 기원이를 국제사회에 내세워야 될 가능성이 높아지기 때문입니다.
It's because the higher the international pressure, the more likely that they'll have to put the two daughters in front of the international community.
네, 그래서 그들은 충분한 영향을 공급하고 있을 것이고 그리고 각종 세뇌를 하고 있을 가능성이 매우 높다고 보고 있습니다.
They're probably treating them very well in order to prepare for them for that day.
조선일보의 보도는 우리가 확인할 수는 없지만 그렇게 추정하고 있습니다.
And for that article in the 조선일보, there's no way to confirm, but that's how we're construing this.
Yes, please.
Hi, my name is Annika Koh, and I'm a college student at Dickinson College. I'm here in D.C. for the Washington Center program. I have a question for Mr. Sung Yong-che. He mentioned that he helped bringing North Korean abductors from North Korea back to South Korea. I was wondering if it was through an official effort, for example, helping them escape from North Korea, or was it through an official effort using documents and like petitions to the North Korean government?
납북자들을 남한으로 데려오셨다 그러는데 그것이 공식 방법을 통해서 뭐 서류를 증명 서류를 이용한다든지 등의 방법이었는지 아니면 비공식 방법이었는지에 대해서 알고 싶습니다.
지금 이 책을 조금 이렇게 보니까요. 여기 전체가 일본인 납북자 요코다 메구미부터 이렇게 있습니다.
As I look at this book here, they're all Japanese abductees starting with Yokoda Megumi.
2000년도부터 우리 정부가 햇빛 정책을 쓰면서
Our government started the sunshine policy starting in 2000.
비전향 장기수를 63명을 무조건 보냈습니다.
뭐예요? 한국에 있는 비전향 장기수 그 사유주의자들
간첩들 네, 간첩들.
63명을요?
예.
The South government sent 63 socialist move activists to North Korea.
저는 그때 방법이 없다. 그래서 자금을 투자해서 북한에 정보원을 두기 시작했습니다.
And I felt helpless at the time, so I started investing my own money to put agents in North Korea.
2000년 4월부터 납북자를 제가 중국으로 끄집어 내오면서 어디 있는 납북자가 어디 있는 것을 정보를 취득하게 됐습니다.
And I started bringing abductees out in starting in April of 2000 into China, and I was starting to identify the locations of the abductees in North Korea.
이것은 정부가 아닌 저희 피해자들이 오로지 가족을 살려야겠다는 그런 일념으로 탈출시켰습니다.
This was not done through the government's efforts, but by the victims, the families. Of the abductees for the goal of saving our own family members.
오로지 정부가 아닌 가족의 힘으로 탈출시켰습니다.
Not by government's effort, but by the family members.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
I am Yang Lo-yun from NGO Foundation for Empowerment. I have a question to Mr. Hong Jae-cho and to Dr. Roberta Cohen. I heard that there was a catastrophe of flooding in North Korea, so that they really desperately need the help from outside. And I also read that the North Korean government finally accepted the South Koreans' offer to help. I'm wondering whether this can be used as an opportunity for leveraging from the South Korean government as well as the U.S. government and others. If that's the case, and what they can do at the same time, what the civil society and others concerned about these issues can do. Thank you.
등에 있는 재난 때문에 북한에서 남한의 그 도움을 받되 된다고 들었는데요. 혹시 이것을 이용해 갖고 우리가 좀 더 인권적인 문제를 갖다 해결할 수 있는지에 대해서 듣고 싶습니다. you like to go first?
Oh, mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I fully understood the question. Is this about what the United States government can or would do to help North Koreans because of the floods, or are you connecting this, giving assistance to raising human rights concerns? I wasn't quite sure what you...
I mean, whenever there is some momentum, and we have to take a full advantage of it, and this seems to be one momentum through which the outside governments, as well as civil societies, can make some influence, even if it doesn't last for long. This are good, it can spark. So even for long-term human rights movement, there'll be another opening. But particularly at this moment, what the U.S. government can do, because the U.S., I mean, the North Korea desperately needs some help from others. And Kim Jong-un seems to be at least appearing to open to outside world.
Unfortunately, in my opinion, food aid to North Korea, humanitarian assistance to North Korea, or nutritional assistance, as it's called, has been linked to progress in nuclear and denuclearization. So the agreement that was reached with North Korea in February was one in which there were steps to be taken for denuclearization, and with those steps, then there would be a certain amount of food aid, of nutritional assistance offered to North Korea. I have found that linkage extremely unfortunate, because then if it doesn't work out, as it did not work out on the nuclear side, then the whole question of humanitarian assistance and food aid is then put aside and becomes almost impossible to move forward. So I myself like to think of food aid as something that should be given on the basis of humanitarian need and the ability to actually get that aid to reach the people who are in need. But at least as far as the United States goes, it has become linked. The U.S. will point out that it was the North Koreans themselves who made the linkage, but I think it was too readily accepted. Whether after the elections, because I don't think, unfortunately, anything will happen before, after the elections, if there can be any sort of discussions quietly behind the scenes that can lead to some kind of humanitarian relief effort, and whether that will be a step to opening a door toward broader discussions and even the kinds of discussions where human rights questions like the Oak Hill Nam case can come up, that is a possibility. That is something to hope for. But right now, that is not the case.
예, 그 아주 좋은 의견이라고 생각합니다.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
만일에 한국 정부가 북한과의 관계를 설정할 때 서독의 사례를 따랐다면 벌써 해원이 기원이는 한국에 와 있을 거라고 생각하고 있습니다.
Had South Korean government followed the example of Germany, I think by now we would have had 해원 and 기원 back.
서독 정부는 동독 정부에 다량의 지원을 하면서 이걸 인권 문제와 연계시켰습니다.
West German government tied human rights to all the aids to the to East Germany.
항상 공식적으로 연계시키진 않았습니다. 비공식적으로 훨씬 더 많은 인권 문제는 비공식적으로 해결을 했었습니다.
Perhaps not officially all the time, but they used tied human rights in many unofficial ways.
동독 정부의 체면을 살려주면서도 얼마든지 할 수 있는 방법은 있었다는 것을 확인시켰습니다.
Without embarrassing East Germany, they proved that they could work on the issue of human rights.
그러나 정말 안타깝게도 한국 정부는 그렇게 하지 못했습니다.
But unfortunately, the South Korean government has not done that.
그저 일방적인 지원만 했을 뿐이고 이것을 북한의 인권 문제와 어떻게 실질적인 개선은 전혀 이루어내지 못했습니다.
They provide unilateral aid without tying it to human rights.
심지어 자국민 보호조차 하지 못했습니다. 자국민에 대한 구출, 송환까지 송환조차 하지 못했습니다.
In fact, South Korean government couldn't even rescue their own South Korean citizens.
지적하신 바처럼 이제 김정은 체제가 개혁개방 조치를 취할 수밖에 없는 상황에 있습니다.
As you pointed out, Kim Jong-un regime is forced to adopt reform policy.
이 문제 관련해서 이제 남은 관건은 다음에 한국 정부가 어떤 성격의 정책을 구사하느냐에 달려 있습니다.
The next agenda is on focused on what kind of policy the South Korean government takes.
올해 12월에 대통령 선거가 있습니다.
We have a presidential election this December.
그래서 이제 다음에 등장할 정부가 어떤 정책을 구사하느냐에 따라서 상당히 많은 부분의 변화가 있을 가능성이 있다고 보고 저는 그 제기하신 의견에 전적으로 동의합니다.
A lot will depend on who the what the next government's policy will be, but in many ways I agree with you.
예. Thank you very much. I would like to remind all of our distinguished friends in the audience today that if you have any questions about the Oki Lam case or any questions about North Korean human rights in general, please feel free to email to committee at hrnk.org. Once again, please take a look at our website. I'm sure you've done that already, hrnk.org. Befriend us on social media. We look forward to keeping you informed. Thank you very much for joining us today. We know that there is a lot going on today, and we highly appreciate your presence. Dr. Oki Lam, thank you very much for everything that you do to inspire us. We promise you that we will continue to do our best to help with this campaign. I would like to thank our distinguished speakers today, Dr. Cohen, Chairman Choi Sung-yong, Chairman Choi Hong-jae, Mrs. Kwon Eun-kyung, and I would like to thank our volunteer VIP translator, Commissioner Michael Kwon. Thank you very much for being with us once again. I would like to thank Dr. Choi Gu and all friends at the U.S.-Korea Institute at SAIS, Angela Choi and her wonderful team of interns, our own HRNK interns. We will continue to keep you informed on our publications and activities and look forward to future events. Thank you very much. Please join me in thanking our speakers.